Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Tuesday edition of the program, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. And tonight, just a reminder that we'll be on the air from about 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Lee Kelly will join me, so will Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, from the News and Tribune Sports Performance Yearly Awards at Eastside Christian Church at 2319 Veterans Parkway. This is the big-time deal that the News and Tribune group sets up every year to recognize finalists in a lot of different sports for a lot of different awards. Also tonight, there are some non-athlete awards, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and some others that will be honored tonight with some very, very special individuals from the high school sports scene in Clark and Floyd counties. It's always, I've said this many times on the program when Craig has been with us, he's always on the show Wednesdays to talk local sports, but this is just a big deal. It's like the ESPYs. It's the same sort of format. It's in an auditorium at Eastside Christian Church. There's lights, there's sound, there's we're broadcasting in the lobby, we're on the radio, we will pick up the program as well, the ceremony and the announcements of all the winners as well. But it's a big time atmosphere for a high school athlete, especially somebody that maybe just completed their high school career and is en route to college in this transitional off season this summer, but some underclassmen as well, some of the better underclassmen in various sports with the opportunity to be honored as well. So if you can't make it out, it's free this year to go. So if you've got somebody from your school or you're just a fan and wants to see not just basketball, girls and boys, but all the sports and the top athletes in the area be honored tonight, make it out. If you can't, we'll be live from 5 to 6 with like a pregame show. Basically what that is, it's Craig and Lee and I will be live on the radio interviewing guests, whether it be athletes, whether it be coaches, whether it be anyone associated with the high school scene here in Southern Indiana as they arrive on the red carpet. And that pregame content that we'll be having for you here on the Big X will also be live in the auditorium on the big screens there to help you get through to the start of the actual show at 6 o'clock. And then again at 6 to 7, around that 7 o'clock hour, we will have the coverage of the actual program with the winners as well. Also, a programming note, I stayed up late last night listening to the 4A baseball championship game as a member of the IHSAA network. We are required to cover or to carry some of the network broadcasts from local state championship games, even when it doesn't involve a local team, but we try to always get on as many as we can based on conflicts and what else we need to be airing at that time. But what a game at Columbus East Falls, of course, a member of the Hoosier Hills Conference. Floyd Central beat Columbus East in the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament, by the way, but Columbus East got hot in the regular season, very talented team, made it to the state championship game. They beat Jeffersonville en route to Indianapolis in a classic, just a very tough loss for the Red Devils, but down to the wire game at the 4A Regional in Evansville. Then last night, the Olympians come up short on a walk-off single that scored a run. Actually, it was an error, a walk-off hit that was scored an error, scores a run from second base for the Avon, and Avon is your 4A baseball champion. So a tough way. We thought the Jeffersonville-Columbus East game was a tough ending for the Red Devils, and one that I know some of the parents and coaches have said will stick with them for a long time, and it was tough to see a local team. We recall
calling the game go down in that sort of dramatic fashion after battling back to take the lead on that tough day in Evansville. But my goodness, I can't imagine a tougher way to lose a state championship than with an error. Tough stuff for Columbus East, but still a really good season. So we'll have some other, I believe, high school baseball tonight, some of the other classifications, those games taking place during the week this year because of some conflicts with Victory Field in downtown Indianapolis, which normally on Friday and Saturday of this past weekend hosts the state finals. But lots of stuff going on. Let's jump right into the program today. Look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, a couple Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. And we'll close things out later today with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll take a look at IU basketball and get back on the recruiting trail. We didn't get to recruiting much yesterday, but and didn't talk about this at all yesterday, but wanted to with Mike today. Another Archie Miller team camp. A lot of high school teams on the IU campus once again on Saturday. Another Saturday loaded with not just high school teams playing basketball in the summer, but a lot of high school teams with IU prospects or top players, younger players that likely will become IU targets if they haven't already very soon. So another, from what it appears from a distance, another job well done. Anthony Leal was on campus this week. Caleb First of Fort Wayne Blackhawk was on campus this week playing with his team. And those are just two of a number of players that you want to see Indiana stay close with and have on campus and have relationships with their coaches, all things that a team camp opportunity allows you to do. So we'll talk some about that and more with Mike Pegram when he is with us later today. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's quickly look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Another schedule note to get to. Mike Pegram breaking this news earlier this morning. According to sources, Mike says the Indiana men's basketball team will host Princeton in November as part of its 2019-2020 non-conference schedule. Mike goes on to write the Tigers were third in the Ivy League last year and will feature one of the top players in that league in sophomore guard Jalen Llewellyn. And that comes on the heels yesterday of us finding out that Indiana's going to host Portland State on November 9th, another game that will be played at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. So basically it's down to this, and Zach Osterman and I had a long conversation about scheduling and where the schedule's at and should we expect any big games, big additions to the schedule for next season. Probably not. We're getting really close to knowing the full thing or piecing together the full thing. There are some other games missing, a lot like a Portland State-level opponent. Princeton, a pretty solid opponent, though, in mid-major basketball. It has a really good reputation. So, but there are some games missing from the schedule. Unfortunately, unless there's a surprise out there that we don't know about, it's pretty much going to be, I hate to call them filler games, because filler games can be important, or money games is the even worse term, where the other team is getting paid to play a bigger team on the road like that. Remember Mike Davis's team down in the Texas school he was at? I think they played so many away games until conference play started so they could basically have a basketball budget to recruit and travel and do what they needed to do in the conference part of the season. But that's the kind of games that you can pretty much expect to be added the rest of the way. So I think we basically know most of the exciting matchups for the IU season 2019-2020. I want to also talk about this quickly here in the first segment. During the show, if you're listening live at 11 o'clock, during the show here in just a few minutes, Bellarmine is having a press conference to announce a significant athletic development with its athletic program, which I think everybody is well aware, and it's basically already been reported, including by Eric Crawford of WDRB, that Bellarmine is headed to the Division I ranks. And if you've not been paying attention, this might catch you by surprise, but especially over the last 6 months or so, this has been a regular conversation of local media and a rumor out of Bellarmine that they would, in fact, make a transition very soon to Division I athletics. I think it's an interesting move. I have, and if you listen to this program and know Scotty Davenport and know the connection that he has to Southern Indiana and the great Southern Indiana players that have been a big part of Bellarmine's basketball uprising and of the national championship some years ago, You know that it's a special program because they're able to get high-level players that play the game a certain way, often from the local region, whether it's Southern Indiana or the state of Kentucky, and then go on to have very good success. Now, they mix some players, some high-level players that maybe transferred down from Division I occasionally or from elsewhere occasionally as well, but that's primarily been a big, you know, a big zone, a big recruiting area, at least for the basketball program. And other sports there have had success. Basketball, obviously, has been at the top of the mountain. But the transition to Division I is going to be really interesting. Will they become a school like Northern Kentucky that quickly finds success once they're eligible for the NCAA tournament? I think there's a four-year transitional period, probational period, where you can play in your conference tournament, but you can't play in the NCAA tournament. Northern Kentucky, right on the heels of that, was they were ready. They were there. They were ready to compete for the conference championship and get to the NCAA tournament. The question is, will we see Scotty Davenport on the sidelines coaching a game in the NCAA tournament before his coaching career comes to an end? Bellarmine making a big jump to Division I athletics, and it's going to be interesting to see how that changes things. There will be good, there will be bad. We'll see if it's still, obviously their recruiting base will have to grow. It won't just, and not that it hasn't grown with their predominant success in basketball already, but it will be interesting to see if that unique connection to our local area on both sides of the river continues. I'm sure Scotty Davenport will do everything in his power to make sure that it does. But a big deal for Bellarmine going to Division I, and that is expected to be made official here later in the 11 o'clock hour today. That's a look at the headlines. Our Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk Romeo Langford. Imagine that. Romeo on draft week. The draft is Thursday. Romeo gearing up for that. He had a visit to Miami yesterday. He had a meeting with New Orleans as well. He's visited with some other franchises, so things getting close. And soon we will know not only where he is headed, but what part of the draft, what number in the draft he gets selected on Thursday night in the green room. So we'll talk some about that and more with Greg, presented by Coffee Crossing. That comes up next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Highway 311, at least portions of it in Sellersburg may be temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg still open and brewing great coffee daily. Greg, we've talked so much about Romeo Langford going all the way back to when you first started coming on this program on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, and a lot of that talk going way back to some of your first comments about Romeo when you were first discovering who he was as a player and a person has been that he's a pro. He's an NBA player no matter what happens from this point forward, and it's hard to believe that we're within days of finding out where he will get drafted, by whom he will get drafted. And you had a great story, a column that everybody, if they haven't read yet, needs to go to IndyStar.com/sports and check out about Romeo and the Pacers. And could that happen at the number 18 pick? And will Romeo be there at the number 18 pick? So interesting stuff and a lot to get to today with Romeo on the week of the NBA draft.
Boy, a whole lot with Romeo. Yeah, and he's one of the most interesting in our state, the most, but even nationwide, he's one of the most interesting prospects in the draft just because, you know, we all love a mystery. And he's a mystery right now. I mean, we have a pretty good handle on him, but even I, who I thought I had him nailed a year ago, I'm not sure. You know, I'm just not sure. I mean, you can't be sure. And the injury, he hadn't worked out yet for anybody. He won't work out before the draft. I will tell you what it does. It underscores, and people don't like this, some people, Purdue fans mainly, but people don't like me using the word sacrifice with Romeo, and I don't really understand why. I mean, he and Darius Garland had the exact same choice in late November. They both had an issue that needed surgery, would take about 6 weeks to recover. And Darius couldn't play through his, so it wasn't the exact same choice. But Darius chose to have surgery and then just shut it down, didn't play anymore. Romeo played through it, hurt his draft stock on the court because he couldn't shoot with that thumb. Can't work out for teams. That certainly isn't helping his draft stock. And he's meanwhile, he and Darius have flip-flopped. Romeo was a 5 or 6 pick in November. Darius was a 13-15 guy. And right now in all the mocks, they've switched places. It's a damnedest thing.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. The NBA draft, man, it's a hard thing to figure out. I know there are picks that some of the mock drafts have had that haven't changed for months, and others seem to change on a daily basis or every time they're updated. But no matter what happens with the good mock drafts, even from the guys that are talking to the NBA personnel, there's always a crazy surprise on draft night. Somebody goes way higher than what they were expected to go. Somebody goes, even somebody in the green room, it's happened before, goes way lower, even drops into the second round, and they were expected to be somewhere solidly in the first round. So those are the kind of exciting moments of the draft, although I have to claim I'm a little bit – I've never watched – I've always enjoyed the draft. Some years I've watched every moment of it. Some years I've watched bits and pieces of it. Some years I've watched none of it. But I am a little nervous this year. I don't feel like Romeo, gut feeling only, that he will slip or anything bad like that with him being in the green room. But I will watch with every pick, maybe once it gets through the top five, top six, with a lot more anticipation than I ever have before.
So Romeo will be in the green room?
Yes, he was invited last week. I think they initially invited 9 players. And this is Jonathan Givony of ESPN Draft Express. They had 9 players that names were released or that got out that they were invited to the green room. And then Romeo, then they announced 3 more, and Romeo was in that next group of 3. And then right after that, they announced 3 more. So I quit following the green room stuff after it got to 15, but Romeo was – in the top 12, or the first 12, I guess you could say, that were announced that would get an invite to the green room, which is, I think, a good sign.
Well, you can look at that 2 ways, and it's certainly the most the nicest way to look at it, and the way that you hope it is that, yes, he's the NBA, whoever issued those invites, whoever approved those invites, they got a pretty good handle on where he's going to go. That is certainly the best way to look at this, and I hope that's true for his sake, but another way to look at it is that's a TV show, and that's reality TV. And by having 15 in there, they know for a fact some of them aren't going lottery, at least one. So, you kind of wonder: are they throwing a couple guys in there that they think might drop because that's reality TV? I mean, about the only thing I can tell you about the NFL draft of the last 20 years, Aaron Rodgers dropped, and everybody saw it. You know, it's one of those things. So anyway, I hope they're not using Romeo for drama. But I will tell you this, Romeo's agent apparently thinks Romeo's going pretty high. Because if you look at who Romeo interviewed with this week and who's got interviews still scheduled for, they're all in the top 10 or 12, and a couple of them in the top 7 or 8. And the Pacers tried to get Romeo in their facility just to interview him, talk to him more, spend some more time with him. And Romeo's agent said, no thanks. He's not going to be there at 18. We're not going to waste your time. So the agent, it doesn't mean he's right, unless, you know, there's always these guarantees. People get guarantees. That's why some people stay in the draft. That's why some people do whatever they do. Some people shut down workouts, whatever, because they get told, you're not dropping past this team at 23 or whatever that is. Maybe Romeo's agent's gotten a guarantee from somebody above the Pacers, and maybe way above the Pacers, that if Romeo's there for us at 7, 8, 12, whatever, he's not dropping past us. Maybe that's the case. And I mean, they know if that's true. I mean, the rest of us are just kind of wondering.
I guess I'm hopeful that an invite to the green room last week in the top first 12 announced for that, for whatever that's worth. And then reading your story today where he didn't want to meet with the Pacers outside of a brief meeting with a lot of teams at the Combine in Chicago, because obviously he doesn't think he'll be around it at the 18th pick the Pacers have. I mean, Romeo's, you know, we know him. I feel like it's safe to say he's not going to bypass any opportunity to compete for his dream unless it's a business decision. And I've got to believe, just putting two and two together, and again, this is a very hopeful statement from me, but that all things put together, he does have a strong guarantee from somebody at least above number 18. And you would think if it got that low. If he got the, if he thought 15 or 16 or 17, you would think he would still talk to the 18th team too. Again, common sense may not always prevail in some of these things, especially when we're sitting on the outside looking in. But I sure hope all that put together, Greg, with what I read in your story as well, makes you think that he's going to go. He's got some sort of promise or guarantee.
Yeah, and my story talks about kind of the well, I used the word fairy tale, and Romeo has been kind of our, you know, I say our, the whole state, obviously down south, much more yours, but he's kind of been our fairy tale basketball player for the, you know, he's been our generation's, I don't know, Rick Mount or Steve Alford, or just a beloved player that then stayed in the state, you know, and continued it. So, there, you know, there's Mount, there's Alford, and there's not a ton of guys that have done that are as good and beloved. I mean, Caleb Swanigan in state and went to Purdue. I mean, he was really, really good. And he wasn't disliked, but he wasn't beloved, you know. Romeo's beloved in ways that we don't see. So when he goes to IU, that's kind of a fairy tale. And the fairy tale didn't have the happily ever after, the injury and his two injuries, the back two. And, you know, the way the whole season unfolded for IU just wasn't – it clearly wasn't happily ever after. Well, as I wrote – you know, maybe his fairy tale's not over yet. And by his, I mean ours, the state. What if he ends up with the Pacers? What if he's there? And that's the kind of thing that nobody would have even, I mean, you had to be an idiot in November, December to wonder that, you know, would he be there at 18? Well, no, of course not. But his stock is in mocks, dropped. So we don't know. And I'm not rooting for him to fall to 18, but what if he goes to the Pacers? What if? And the Pacers, we all know, they got one state kid already, Oladipo. And they need perimeter help. They've got two bigs, but you can't say they've got a big three. A big three implies all three of them can play at the same time. They don't have that. They got a big two asterisk or a big two and a half. They got, you know, Sabonis and Turner can't play together. So that's not three. That's two. They need a third, and they need a perimeter guy. What if Romeo is just all of it? What if he goes to the hometown team? What if he's their answer? What if the Pacers get really good because of Romeo? You talk about happily ever after, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, and I guess...
And it wouldn't be cool, sorry, it wouldn't be cool on draft night, I guess. I mean, I think being picked by the Pacers would be pretty cool, but it wouldn't be cool for him to fall at 18. That's not cool. I get it. But I'm fast-forwarding 2 years from now. Wouldn't that be cool?
Greg, what do you say to the people, and I think some of these people are the same ones that were really behind Romeo to IU, and I talked some about this last week. I don't think it was with you. But when Louisville got in problems and Rick Pitino got fired and it was clear that Louisville just wasn't a destination for Romeo Langford, even a lot of Louisville supporters, Louisville alumni, Louisville fans that maybe live on the southern Indiana side, maybe they live in Louisville, they wanted Romeo to stay close because of the reputation he had and the way that the area was just absolutely consumed with him and fought, and the kids, the way the kids followed him around like a young legend that he was. What do you say to the people that say, you know what, enough Indiana, enough of the Hoosier State, enough of IU, you had a year there, it was okay, you need to experience something else and get out of here and not necessarily have the media and the fanfare and everybody breathing down your neck at every moment. Is that something that you've thought of, and you think that could be, even though the fairy tale wouldn't happen, and maybe it won't happen regardless because maybe he won't be there at the 18th pick, but yeah. We might as well talk about it now because it'll be over with Thursday. But is that strike you as something that maybe could be a good, not decision for him, but a good opportunity just to get away and experience something different outside of this bubble that he's lived in now since he was in middle school?
Well, let's first, before I answer that all the way, let me just address the whole get out of here, experience something else, bubble, blah, blah, blah. He's about to be a internationally traveling pro athlete. He's not going to be in a bubble anymore. And he's going to be living in a hotel room 6 months out of the year. And there's just no way to, let's just say he goes to Pacers. Let's say he spends his whole career at the Pacers and retires at 35 in the Hall of Fame. No one's going to look back and say, wow, Romeo, it's too bad you didn't see the rest of the world. Too bad you were stuck in Indiana. He's about to see the whole world.
Right.
So I don't – that part of it is just way too lazy. That's not the issue. And so let's not be around the bush. That's not the issue. The issue is, does Romeo need to get out of here? That's the issue. Not because he needs to see the world. Does Romeo need to get out of here? Here's the question. Does Romeo need to get away from us? And I don't mean, gosh, Lord knows, I don't mean the people that love him in New Albany. I'm not saying that.
Sure.
I'm saying the scrutiny. I'm saying people like me that, and I love him, and you know I love him. But I've written some things that you might read that and go, wow, he doesn't like him at all, or whatever, because I'm not critical is the wrong word, but I see what I see, and I'm commenting on what I see, and some people don't like it. But, you know, I do this about people I really like, including him. It's my job. So maybe he doesn't want the scrutiny that he will get in this state from, and I don't mean me, but just us, the media, because we've been around him forever, and we're going to pick apart everything he does. And truth is, though, if you're a lottery pick, and everybody seems to, I mean, Romeo and his agent seem to think he is, and the green room thinks he is. If you're a lottery pick, you're about to get scrutinized and picked apart wherever you are. You're about to be somebody's salvation, or you're supposed to be. And if you are, then they're going to love you. And if you're not, you're going to get scrutinized. Would it be worse here? Maybe. Would it be worse here with the 18th pick? The team already has Oladipo as a heat shield, Miles Turner, and perhaps Sabonis. I don't know. I can see the benefit. I certainly can see the benefits. What it comes down to is this. Long answer. What it comes down to is this. Only Romeo knows if the pressure in this state is too much for him. Only he knows that. And I'm not about to say it is. Not even close. I saw the way he handled it in high school. I saw the way he handled it most of the time at IU, despite the fact that he wasn't 100% healthy, apparently, from game five on. I've got no fears that he can't handle the scrutiny. I do wonder if he can handle being asked to be the guy in an NBA locker room. If he goes in the top 10 or 12, unless he goes to the Pelicans, he'll be asked to be the guy. And I don't know if he's ready for that. He goes to the Pacers, he's not the guy. Oladipo's the guy, Miles Turner's the next guy. Romeo, you're a really good piece. And I think this place might be perfect for him.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment always presented by Coffee Crossing. Last Romeo thing, do you think he'll be around at 18, or do you feel like he'll go earlier? And I know this is just a gut feeling more than anything, but what is your read, your prediction on Thursday night as to where you could see him going?
I think you've asked me a few times about, like, Final Four, who's going to win this game, and who's, you know, this and that, and I think I tell you, and because I realize what I say probably doesn't make a lot of sense. When it comes to things like this, when it comes to schools involved that I care about or players that I care about, I'm like, if I'm critiquing them, I can be really logical and say, hey, this is not working so good. But if you're asking me to predict what's going to happen, you're not asking me to comment on what did happen. You're asking me, what do I think is going to happen? All I can tell you is what I want to have happen. And I want that kid, that young man, playing in Indianapolis for the next 10 years. I want to write about him for 10 years. I want him to be an all-star in this city. I want him to lift the Pacers into an Eastern Conference powerhouse, because that makes for happy readers. Happy readers make for a happy me. So if that's a homer thing to say, whatever, I'm not rooting for the Pacers. I'm rooting for me, and I'm rooting for Romeo. And I think both of us win if he's here doing great stuff.
Oladipo and Langford, what a fandom tag team that could be. Wow.
Right? I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm about to get excited again. But, yes, I would love to see that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as always, thanks for the chat. And after, I don't know, what, 2 years, 2.5 years or so, maybe longer, of coming on every Tuesday and talking about Romeo. And you were one of the first, man. I mean, you in fact, we have a sound clip. I don't think it plays anymore. But one of the first segments we had together, we were talking about Romeo Langford, and, you know, he was just beginning to kind of break into the statewide media and people like you beginning to pay attention and write columns about him. And we have a sound clip from you where he's a pro. He's an absolute pro, is what you said. And
well, he wasn't, yeah, and I remember
gonna,
back
gonna
then.
Be. And so we play that over and over again. So finally, after all of the conversations that have happened since then and since the sound bite that we made to promote your weekly segment on the program, when we talk again next week at this time, we'll know. We won't have to guess. I won't have to ask you for your prediction. We'll know.
And really quick, just so people know, that wasn't me. I mean, of course he's a pro right now, but 2.5 years ago he was like a top 20, top 25 recruit, top 30, something like that. And I was like, wait a minute, everybody's wrong here. He's about as good as I've ever seen in high school. And I mean, you know, I'm not brilliant. I just don't understand why people weren't seeing it. So, yeah, he was a pro then. He's a pro now. And next week he'll be a pro. And I hope he's a pro in area code 46225.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Bye.
All right. Great. Great to have Greg with us on Tuesdays. Our chat with Greg, it's always a fun one, presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget their fourth location in the area, now open in Sellersburg. And now that it's getting warmer outside, don't forget you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice. So make sure you check out a Coffee Crossing location today. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Pegs had the scoop earlier this morning that IU and Princeton are going to play in a non-conference game in the 2019-2020 season as we fill in the remaining blanks there. And also we'll talk some recruiting stuff, including the Archie Miller team camp. I guess it was session two of the team camp this past Saturday. Bloomington South with Anthony Leal, Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian with Caleb First, and a lot of other players with Christian Lander of Evansville Wrights were there as well. A lot of teams in action over the weekend on the courts at Assembly Hall, Cook Hall, and other courts on the Bloomington campus, which is a good thing for IU, and that level of talent is playing on your campus with their high school coaches and families and everybody there. We'll head to a break, come back, and talk about it with Mike Pegram. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us today for our weekly chat on IU basketball. And Mike, a little scoop from you this morning. You had IU and Princeton as a non-conference matchup for the 2019-2020 upcoming college basketball season. We can kind of begin to really pull this thing together. There are still a few holes, but it seems like with each day that passes, 2 days and 2 days this week and two additions to the schedule this week that we've learned about, but with each day that passes, we're kind of filling in the blanks more and more until we get to a full schedule for next season.
Yeah, I was just down to some early season games that kind of fill in with the regular stuff like the ACC Big Ten Challenge and the Crossroads Classic, and then the return of or the last part of that series that involves Arkansas. So I think, yeah, games like the Portman State and Princeton are what's left, and there's not very many of them. I don't know how many there are, but and Princeton's a solid team, was third in the Ivy League, and the Ivy League I think was the 12th best conference in the Pomeroy's at the end of the season, ahead of the Missouri Valley and some other leagues that traditionally have been really good. So, and they get some good players back. So it'll be a decent test for Indiana, especially since it might come pretty early in the season.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, I asked Zach Osterman this yesterday, but as we plug in Portland State on Monday and now Princeton today to the schedule for next season, you know, fans, especially this time of year when the season is so far away and you're stretching for ways to try to connect to next season and think about next season and break down next season. And recruiting fills a lot of that and other off-season happenings. But when you talk about the schedule, you really get people's attention, I feel like. Any other big games or interesting games you think could be added to the slate that we already know about for the non-conference? Or is it basically going to be similar matchups, Portland State, Princeton, someone along those lines to fill the rest of the gaps?
You know, I've heard some talk about a St. John's series, but that's kind of fallen off the wayside. You know, they had a coaching change there, and the Indiana went ahead with the Jimmy V thing with playing UConn out there. So, honestly, I don't know of anything else. There are, you know, some games involved with that kind of a hardwood classic thing that Arkansas is involved. We'll be coming to Bloomington for, but nothing significant that I'm aware of that will be an addition. I just, you know, remember, you got 20 game Big Ten schedule, so that takes two non-conference games away. And I just don't think there's going to be anything super exciting left, but you just never know.
MikePegramPeaks.com, our guest. Got to talk recruiting with you because another big Saturday for IU basketball on their own campus, hosting more teams for another session of Archie Miller's team camp. I know Christian Lander, Evansville Wrights, they were on campus playing. Bloomington South, Anthony Leal on campus, Caleb First, and some other talented players from Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian there. Just based on the tweets and the stuff I saw on Pegs.com and other places, definitely it's been, I think, another successful two Saturdays, last Saturday and this past Saturday as well, of team camp basketball for IU. They've done a great job of getting key teams, key prospects on campus, and all the guys that IU is involved with and that we talk so much about on the show and that you write so much about have been on campus spending time at Assembly Hall, at Cook Hall, with the coaches, families there, high school coaches there, teammates from their high school team, obviously, as they play games. But really two good Saturdays, and I was hoping you'd give us a little rundown or breakdown of some of the things you saw and you wrote about Saturday.
Right. We had the top two or three players in the class of 2021 there with Caleb First from Fort Wayne Blackhawk, won a state championship. Christian Lander, the only five-star really from that class from Evansville Wrights, was there with his team. Luke Goody from Fort Wayne area, Homestead High School, has already got offers from Iowa and Maryland, a 6'5" guard whose parents are both went to Indiana University, and his family also ties also to Trent Green, former IU quarterback, who's a tremendous NFL career. So this past weekend really interesting for me. I found some other guys I think will be mid-majors or better I hadn't seen before. Indiana did a really good job over these two Saturdays, Matt, of really bringing in the top players, especially from that junior to be class of 2021. That is outstanding, one of the better classes we've seen. And also, shouldn't forget this, Anthony Leal played from Bloomington South, had a really nice camp, and he received an offer from Indiana at the end of April, early May, and that was really important for him to play well, and I thought he did, especially his second and third games of the three that he played. And he's a local kid with parents who work for IU, so it's not really you don't have to really sell him on the school, but you need to have mutual interest there and make sure he fits what they need. And he definitely can shoot the ball, and that's why Indiana offered.
Talking to Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, you talked some about Anthony Leal. I guess compared to Trey Galloway and some of the others, maybe his name hasn't been as predominant. I don't know if that's a fair statement or not, but in that 2020 class, now that the team camps are over with and as teams get ready to play, which is going to be interesting and something I wanted to talk with you about, as teams get ready to play with their high school teams again this month and play continues in some summer league stuff, they're going to get a chance to do so here in the final few weeks of the month in front of college coaches, which is going to be completely different from what we've experienced in the recruiting calendar in the past. But before we get to that, Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, those guys, of those 2020 guys, in-state guys that Indiana's been watching and has offered recently within the last couple months, any of those guys talk about when they could make their decision? Any of those guys set a time frame for ending this recruiting process? Some guys love to get it over with before their senior year begins so they can focus solely on their high school career and their high school basketball team and their academics and those sort of things and their final go-around in high school. Has there been any discussion of that? And is there a player of the core 2020 in-state guys Indiana's after that you think could pull the trigger sooner than rather than later? And I guess the reason for this question, Mike, is because Nigel Pack, another really good 2020 player in the state of Indiana who Indiana was looking at, and he had picked up some other scholarship offers. He made his decision to go to Kansas State last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a decent chance something will happen in the next month or two, but nobody has said publicly that they'll make a decision before summer is over. But they have kind of been on the timetable of making a decision before they start their senior year of high school. And a lot of times those decisions get pushed up. They kind of decided these are the schools that are going to recruit me. Nobody else is going to join in, and had enough visits and time to figure out where I fit in, and I this school is showing me the most love, and they just go ahead and make a decision. And I could see an Anthony Leo or Trey Galloway. Trey's made a lot of visits, and his recruitment is fairly Midwest, you know, centered, so makes it easier for him to know exactly what options he has. So, you know, I could see something happening, but nobody's gone on record as saying that they're going to decide over the summer. I think there's a chance that the out-of-state kid, Matt Cross, from out east, because he made a bunch of junior official visits and still in the middle of making visits, could decide even before July's over, because he has made these trips, and he's a tremendous prospect that got pushed into the top 100 thanks to a big spring.
Mike, coming up here, not this weekend, but next weekend in Indiana, I think, you know, this weekend and next weekend are allowable dates if the event is approved by the state's respective state high school athletic association. And there is a couple in Kentucky this weekend, I believe, where Division I college coaches will be at. But Indiana, the big one, Charlie Hughes Shootout, will take place not this weekend, but next weekend. I looked at the list of the teams last night, and everybody that you can really think of that has noteworthy players, players that IU is after, players with Division I potential, even young players in the state as well that are interesting. For the most part, just an unbelievable collection of teams are going to participate in this year's Charlie Hughes Shootout, which takes place at Hamilton Southeastern and in Carmel and in that corner of Indianapolis. And the thing different this year is college coaches are going to be there, which is going to be completely different. I met you years and years and years ago when we were first getting into all this stuff, and you know, you were one of the first guys that covered recruiting events. You'd be at the AAU state tournament back when it was the big thing to participate in. You'd be at the Nike All-America camp at IUPUI when it was basically the who's who of high school basketball, the top 150, 200 guys in the country, all gathered together, and there were no ifs, ands, or buts. That was the place that every college coach was going to be, head coaches. You'd see all of them there for that event. Things have changed so much with shoe companies and just different changes, you know, over time in the grassroots industry, you could call it. But one thing that I can safely say, I've never been to an event in the summer where high school teams exclusively have been playing in front of a large number of college coaches. That happens during the season. It's no surprise to go to a New Albany or Jeff game and see, you know, a couple Division I coaches there, especially when Romeo Langford was there. New Albany fans got to kind of have every game, like head coaches would march in right in front of you and get the chance to sit front row and watch him. That's not a common occurrence, but it never happens in the summer because of all the AAU and the shoe ball. So here later this month, we're going to see something that I didn't think we'd ever see, and that's college coaches, I'm assuming, will be packed in at Carmel and Hamilton Southeastern watching all of these high school teams play. So it's going to be a completely different setup than what we've ever seen before.
Yeah, I do think it's one of the benefits of the changes that were enacted. I don't know about these camps that they're going to have later in July. I don't know if those will be great situations for evaluation. But I do think the high school stuff that's going to happen at the end of June is going to help the college coaches a little bit to see their guys they're interested in a team environment, playing with guys that they have chemistry with, that they have plays that they know and can run. And I feel more strongly about that after going to Virginia this past weekend and watching a lot of selfish basketball where guys were with guys they'd never played with, talented players, but seemed too many players were insistent about showing they could shoot or showing they could handle the ball to the detriment of how good the team would play. And making turnovers and stuff when a guy on the other team was probably better at handling the ball. In the team high school environment, I think it's going to be pretty good environment for evaluation.
Mike, I had forgotten you were at the NBA Players Association camp, and I did see a lot of, I don't want to say complaints, but discussion that, you know, camp basketball, no matter how good the players are that make up the teams, will never equivalate to a high school team or to a travel team, a shoe company team that has played together all spring and summer and is playing for a championship at the end with college coaches there. But were there any in-state guys at the camp that IU is after? I know there were a number of guys Indiana was watching and has recruited closely, But any in-state guys there, and out of all the IU targets you watched, who stood out the most?
Zero Indiana players were at the camp. As far as Indiana players stood, now I thought that R.J. Davis played really well. He's a really good shooter, but he's at 5'11", 6', still can play some point guard for you because he handles the ball really well and makes good decisions with it. His team won the whole tournament. Did not surprise me. I didn't stay for the tournament on Saturday, but I told people I bet I wouldn't be surprised to see RJ's team, and that was because his team, I thought, played within themselves, played to their strengths, and liked each other. Versus most of the other teams I noticed weren't like that. And sure enough, they raced to the tournament with a bunch of double digit victories at the end. I thought Dawson Garcia, 6'10", 11 kid from Minneapolis on Indiana's radar, played really well. Showed that he could shoot the ball from the perimeter. And in the point guard, Hassan Diarra, somebody that Indiana's trying to push in to get involved with from a New York City area, is a kind of more of a pure point guard than maybe an R.J. Davis, and he guards the ball really well, distributes, and I thought he was solid. But it's hard to really stand out in these environments when you're playing with a lot of talented players and you're not quite used to going to the rim against this kind of size or playing with these guys you've only had one in practice with or something like that. So it was just, you know, I can remember in the past guys like Gary Harris and Yogi Ferrell and tremendous talent like that, you know, didn't really do a lot at this camp.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, as always, with us Tuesdays on the program as we talk IU basketball and more. Mike, thanks for the chat today. Great to catch up, and we'll do it next week.
All right, Matt. Look forward to it. Take care.
Peaks with us on Tuesdays here on the Hoosier Report. We're going to wrap things up today with a quick rundown of summer league basketball coming your way today. It's the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. Games today at New Albany and Hazelwood. Games tomorrow at Louisville Moore. And then back at New Albany High School all day on Thursday to wrap things up for the summer. But a number of great games scheduled for this week. A lot of really good players are going to be in action. Taking a look at today's games, right out of the gate, 3:30 is the first varsity game at New Albany High School. You've got defending 4A state champion Carmel coming to town. They will take on New Albany at 3:30. They'll play again at 4:30 against Floyd Central. Later in the day at New Albany, 5:30, Floyd Central will take on Bullet East. Louisville Male will take on Christian Academy of Louisville at 6:30. 7:30, Bullet East against North Harrison. 8:30, Male against North Harrison. That's the varsity games at New Albany today. Varsity basketball from 3:30 on at New Albany. At Hazelwood, varsity games, Charlestown under new coach Sean Smith will take on a Floyd Central team. They've got two varsity teams in the league. New Washington will take on Floyd Central. Henryville will take on Charlestown. That's at 5:30. Shawnee of Louisville will take on New Washington at 6:30. Borden will take on Henryville at 7:30. And Borden will take on Shawnee today at 8:30. That's a look at the summer league basketball schedule for today. Later in the week, on Thursday, varsity games begin at 12:30 at New Albany High School and go all the way through 9:30 or 10 o'clock that night. That's the final day of the league. Indianapolis North Central will play a couple games on Thursday. Floyd Central, Silver Creek there, which we haven't seen a lot of Silver Creek this year. They've been traveling to a lot of college events, so Trey Kaufman and crew expected to play on Thursday. A lot of great games. Also Thursday, Marshall County, Kentucky, with Zion Harmon will be there. He's a big-name prospect. That'll wrap things up. I'll be back with you Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.